Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. Kind of getting back to our old style. We're doing this Friday London afternoons. So we've had a pretty good week of data, market movements, your best friend, Jerome Powell, giving backing up exactly what you thought he would say yesterday and spooking markets a little bit. So let's kind of dive right in. What were your biggest takeaways from the past week?
So Powell said what I expected, which is, you know, a hike is still in play. I think a hike is in play because the data doesn't show that the disinflation battle has been won. But the market only was, moderately spooked. I mean, spookiness factor was low for a simple reason, which is that Powell has been saying the same thing for over a year. Every meeting is live. And if you look at the data, the Fed is hiking less and less frequently. So the market is in a way saying, show me the money. I mean, you have to walk the talk. And so I do think that, if the FOMC ends up deciding that they need to hike in December, which is still my view, they will tell us. They will tell us when they have built a consensus, which I think is not going to happen until we get CPI next week. We will need more labor market data, and there an issue is that NFP is not going to come until the pre-meeting blackout. So they are going to base their decision on other labor market data, the jolts, the claims. But they will have to tell the market that they are actually planning to hike for the market to move. I mean, just saying, oh, we might hike, they're not going to be taken very seriously.
Yeah. Still, it's not much is priced in for December, right?
About 10-15%.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. Oh, so I guess that's an interesting trade that we like.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I would say, you know, Waller's speech this week was actually not a speech. It was just 10 slides. And he said, you don't need to be paying attention to every single word coming out of Fed speakers. All you need to do is look at the data. And if you look at the data, you see that, the disinflation is wobbly. We had yesterday the Atlanta Fed median wage, which stabilized. So median wage growth had been falling, but in October, it remained at the same level as September, 5.2%. And interestingly, nominal wage growth is stabilizing after we've had headline inflation stabilizing as well. So early days, but this could be signs that disinflation is stalling. And Powell has been very clear, and I think he means what he says, and there is no reason, you know, why he could not hike. If disinflation stalls, they will hike further.
Right. Okay. So market reaction to any of, I guess, the Fed speeches, yeah, or any specific data this past week, did anything surprise you?
There wasn't a lot of data. So the market really run on this impression that the Fed had turned dovish.
Yeah, I guess it was a tale of two halves. It was the pre-Powell speech and then after. And then we're kind of seeing, I guess it was also, there was some other market stuff where there was a bad auction in the long end, same, you know.
Exactly, which shows, as Mustafa has been saying, what a powerful driver bond supply is at the moment. And markets may be paying more attention to supply than to the Fed. But, you know, let's see what the CPI is like. Maybe this is a good segue to talk about the data next week.
Right. And for our professional clients, I don't think it's out yet, Sam's kind of inflation prediction model, but I believe that will be coming out on Monday. Okay, so let's move to the week ahead. And as you mentioned, CPI, what are the other things you're looking out for? Anything you're concerned with?
So CPI is the main one, but we also have PPI and import prices, and those are important for goods prices. Now, in terms of inflation, goods price is not where the main action is. It's more services that the Fed is concerned about, because services about 3/4 of the index. And then we will get retail sales. We will get some data on manufacturing production and on the residential real estate market. So starting with the CPI, the consensus forecast is 30 basis points, which is not, you know, which is that in itself is it's a fairly innocuous consensus. What will be important is the composition. And what we've seen is that over the past couple of months, we've had a recovery in housing inflation. And I actually published a short note this week highlighting a comment from Kashkari about the U.S. having a shortage of housing, which is becoming more of a mainstream idea, and is of course not great for the Fed, because if you know the supply of housing doesn't change very fast, and so if we have this structural shortage, it means the only way to contain housing inflation is to clamp down on demand. And interestingly, this is one of the points, not specifically about housing, but in general, this is one of the points that Powell made in his speech, that basically, you know, disinflation has been helped by economic normalization post-pandemic. It's not enough. We're going to need policy to actually bring down demand. And there is no better example of that than the housing market and housing inflation. The other thing, of course, is super core services, which also went up last month. And to me, what's most ominous from the Fed perspective is that if you look at median price inflation, which tends to be a better indicator of inflation trends than core inflation, you're seeing a pickup in median price in line with the pickup in energy inflation, which has been my view all along, that the disinflation this year we've had this year reflects largely energy disinflation. And now that energy prices are stabilizing, inflation is stabilizing. So let's see, you know, whether the CPI supports my thesis or not, but it's not about the 30 basis point. It really is about the composition.
Okay. But energy, I mean, I guess oil prices selling off to kind of mid to high 70s, I guess it takes time for that to feed through to petrol prices anyway.
Yeah, petrol prices in the US are very strange. They have a thing that somehow they react very fast to oil prices on global market. And interestingly, they tend to react faster when prices rise than when prices fall. I mean, we have basically a very oligopolistic market. Right. But, you know, Viresh doesn't see the move we've had as reflecting long-term fundamentals. It's more like markets reacting to news out of the Middle
East. I think he's kind of neutral now, from my understanding. And some of that is questions on demand. I think we all agree probably less of those questions demand from the U.S., but also there are questions of some idiosyncratic, like certain OPEC members that were pumping to get their quotas up to a higher level. They weren't even pumping full quotas that they had. And that released a lot of oil onto the market. But then that's interesting. And I guess anything you're thinking, like looking at how the curve reacts, any market stuff, like.
No, I think the market is in denial over inflation, over inflation risk. And I think the only thing that's going to wake up the market to those risks is basically the FOMC, say, the week before the blackout. So maybe not next week, but the week after, dropping a hint that, yes, they might hike in December. But short of that, I found market reactions very asymmetric. So, no, I mean, we'll have retail sales. So this week.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we have retail sales and CPI. I mean, those are two
key
indications. Yeah.
So retail sales, I agree with the consensus, and I tend to look at the control group because this is what's used to compute consumption in the national account. And it shows a 20 basis point month on month increase. And as you know, this week, I've looked back at my prediction of an air pocket an October air pocket. And so I've looked at high frequency indicators of consumption. For instance, the opportunity inside data, which is based on credit card and debit card. And it's a meh data, nothing terrible, but something mediocre. So very much in line with the 20 basis point that the consensus has for control retail sales. So I'm not expecting a surprise there.
Okay, cool. Great. And as we often like to do, just kind of going through some of the important pieces over the past week, obviously now for our professional clients who are not aware, everyone should be definitely trying to listen in. One, you can help participate, obviously, and ask questions on our kind of Wednesday UK afternoon, US kind of more like late morning calls with a kind of a, usually about four of our researchers going over kind of what they view are the most important topics or key things they're focused on for the week. But I'll go through some of the publications from the past week, just highlight. One, the China Growth Tracker. This is seeing some kind of diverging kind of indicators or signals. Still not seeing a massive turnaround that we or probably other people did see some stabilizing, certainly in house prices and kind of certainly tier one cities, but a lot of the issues obviously in tier two, tier three, and less there. Obviously, Dominique, your view on a hawkish Powell fails to move markets, which was a great thing. You wouldn't even say hawkish. You're just saying he's consistent, probably. Ben and Richard writing a thing on the FX, G10 FX Weekly, looking at Euro sterling and Kiwi CAD trades that we both like. And also, will 155 be the top in dollar yen? My personal view is I think we're going to be heading well above 160. Some very interesting pieces on EM, particularly the emerging trends piece. If you guys haven't seen that, that's kind of like a more medium term, kind of really interesting kind of weekly piece that Mirza, Caroline, and Liang do. This looks across basically across emerging markets, including actually also looking into some trends in clean energy space. Interesting. Global Rates Weekly, always a great one. One of my favorites for the week is Varesh kind of giving his take from the Kepler energy data company, had a large oil conference in the Middle East, which he attended. And that some interesting takeaways from there. And just the usual stuff. So the model portfolio continues to do very well. And so I recommend people checking that out. And then even, our idea buying puts on gold. was, you know, definitely a very out of consensus trade, but that seems to be working very well. As always, I certainly wish everyone all the best and good luck. First of all, have a nice weekend as it's Friday, but good luck next week. And Dominique, any parting words?
I hope we'll have as many pro clients as possible on our weekly seminar. It's a great time to exchange views. Good week, everybody.
Great. Thank you so much. Good luck, everyone.